Welcome to the Scout Sunday Podcast, your weekly source for scouting news, viewpoints, training ideas, and a variety of other topics. I'll be your host, Kyle Peters. I'm an Eagle Scout, Scoutmaster, Council Chaplain, and generally enthusiastic scouter. Join me and some of my friends occasionally in conversations that lead us down the trail to Eagle and beyond. Welcome, Jared, to the first ever Scout Sunday podcast. This is our maiden voyage, and in my intro, I say that we're going to have a guest on occasion, and
I guess that's me.
And that's you. We're starting out that way, and we're just wrapping up 2 days of course director conference for Wood Badge, and I don't know about you, but I thought it was a pretty good time. I enjoyed it.
I'm really glad I came down. I didn't know what to expect from it.
Yeah, same.
And so I kind of came in with the expectation that I would just listen and go with the flow, and that's what I did, and I felt like I got a lot of value out of it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about what is Wood Badge and who should go as our maiden voyage here. But I want to know, just so everybody else knows, what your role is, what you're doing in scouting. I know you wear a lot of hats.
That is correct.
Figuratively and literally. And what is it you're up to these days in scouting?
So primarily, what I see as my main role in scouting is I'm the Cubmaster for Pack 396 in Parker. Okay. And I've been doing that for officially now for, I believe, 3 years, unofficially for 5, and I have plans to do it officially for at least the next 4, because I've got a daughter who's a wolf this year, so I'm going to carry on all the way through if they'll have me.
I'm sure they will.
So I do that. I'm a unit commissioner for a couple of different units, yep. One of yours included.
That's right.
And I am district roundtable commissioner for Cub Scouts, and I am also assistant district commissioner of communications, which I think is a position that they made up just for me because I wouldn't stop talking.
There you go. Are you involved in a troop at all?
Also, yes, very, like, I don't help a ton, so on purpose, and the Scoutmaster is fantastic. He and both of his kids came up through my pack, and so they kind of know, like, where my time largely goes, and so he doesn't ask me to do too much, but I do help out and as much as I can there too.
Right.
Came down for a week of summer camp. I'll run boards of review, and I'm a merit badge counselor for half a dozen different merit badges and things like that.
So fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So other than that, are you actually accomplishing anything in scouts? Right. Well, isn't that how it goes? Right. I mean, I guess I'll get my little bio out here since this is our first one. I am the Scoutmaster of my brand new troop out here in the middle of nowhere in Colorado. And I'm the committee chairman for my Cub Scout pack. I'm one of the council chaplains with the purview, I guess, of this camp, of Peaceful Valley Scout Ranch. Here in Colorado, in the Greater Colorado Council. And, I'm also the Lone Scout friend and advisor, or friend and counselor.
Nice.
That's the official title, which always sounds goofy to me, so I just say Lone Scout advisor. And people instantly understand what that is, typically. But I do help out some Lone Scouts
awesome.
In this area, and I love it. But we're going to talk about Wood Badge. what it is and who should go. And so because we've been at CDC training, we're here because we're preparing for a course next spring. You're going to be the ASM of Logistics.
Correct.
The Assistant Scoutmaster of Logistics. I will be the Assistant Scoutmaster of Troop Guides. And so we're kind of getting deep into this weirdness.
Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know, for Wood Badge, one of our learning objectives for this first episode of the podcast is what is Wood Badge?
Yeah.
And Wood Badge is a training for adult leaders in all of the various scouting programs. And so it's open to anybody who is 18 plus and a registered leader in any of the programs.
Yeah, and so I guess we'll kind of touch on too what's expected here, or what can be expected when somebody comes to Wood Badge. Because you and I are kind of on a little bit of a crusade to figure out the best way to market Wood Badge so that people want to come, because we're believers, but we've also seen a lot of things that people say of, I'm not coming because of all these things that aren't true.
One of the things
that shouldn't be anyway.
One of the things that I've definitely noticed is almost everybody I talk to who comes out of a Wood Badge course after being a participant says what a great experience they've had and says mm-hmm. that, you know, it was very valuable for them in their scouting career, helped them sometimes in their marriage, their professional lives. Like there's a lot of benefits, and I mostly hear overwhelmingly positive things about it. But when you ask some people, like, you know, are you interested in attending? Yeah. They will have heard negative things. They will have heard stuff that makes them not want to go. And so that's part of the disconnect is how can something that the people that you see, who you talk to, have overwhelmingly positive experiences of.
Yep.
There's also a sense out in the world of like, people are like, I don't want to do that. And so learning how to share what it is, what people are getting out of it, and why people enjoy it so much, and why those of us, so this is part of the reason we got off on this tangent was, to be a staffer, so in order to serve on staff, you have to have completed the course first. And so that's something that both of us have done. You attend as a participant, you complete all of your requirements, and then you're qualified to staff to come back and serve on a course.
So when somebody shows up for Wood Badge, they get divided up into groups. And this can work a little different depending on the course director, their objectives, but you start out as a Cub Scout basically.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting way to go. So it's designed to show you, so Wood Badge, the process, and this is something I actually just learned this week, is that it's your duration of course is supposed to be a month of
joining. Yeah. Like per day, right?
Well, I think it's the whole course. I think it's all 5 days was your first month.
Is that how they're doing? Okay.
Yeah. So it's like you start out. So yeah, you join as a cub, you cross into the troop, and then you have some troop experience of like kind of your first month of joining a troop, learning the patrol method and like learning all of these skills. And so that, I think, is, I wasn't aware that there was like a set period of time of what it was supposed to represent.
I wasn't either. That was, and I'm not sure how official that is, but it does kind of make sense.
Yeah.
And so we take participants, adults, and we put them in the role of being a scout. You're still adults. We're not going to treat you like a 9-year-old, but we're going to put you in that place so you can see what the program is supposed to look like from the inside.
I think that's a valuable thing. So I have heard one of the things that I've heard people say of, as far as like why they wouldn't want to attend is they're like, I'm an adult. I want to be treated like a kid.
Right.
And they're worried that if you are, you know, put into that situation, that means that you're going to be talked down to, or that means that you're going to be
treated
with disrespect or something. And for one, if that's the sense you have of how kids are being treated in the scouting program, then that's not great.
That's a good point.
So hopefully the kids in all the various scouting programs are having phenomenal times, and they're being treated respectfully, and they are having a lot of fun, and they're learning great skills and all the rest. And like, that should be a desirable thing. So
yeah, no, that's a really good point. Is if you don't want to be treated like the scouts in your unit, maybe we should think about how we're treating the scouts in our units.
And maybe you could some additional training of various varieties.
Well, and I think coming to Wood Badge would help with that, because it can highlight the proper way to run a troop, which is utilizing the patrol method.
Correct.
And something we've talked about here, which we'll get into the usefulness of this here in a little bit, but is a lot of people don't understand what the patrol method is, and that scouting is youth-led, and thus Wood Badge is... air quotes youth led, because obviously we're all adults here.
Correct, yeah.
But we have staff that hold youth positions. We have a senior patrol leader. We have troop guides. Actually, I guess that's about it. Those are the youth positions.
And the participants.
And then the participants are scouts, and they have patrol leaders. They rotate every day. Somebody's a patrol leader. And so they get to act like, as it were, they get to function. That's maybe a better way of saying it. They get to function as a troop one, and in their patrols, and we divide everybody up into patrols at some point, and everybody gets a patrol name for the weekends. There's usually two weekends, and they get to demonstrate and act out functionally being a scout. And so one of the terms I heard was the troop experience. You get the method of the troop experience, and I really liked that. And wow. So you get to experience that journey from Cub Scouts bridge over, which we have a blue and gold banquet and a bridging over ceremony, and that's something you're going to see. If you've got a scout that's a Cub Scout, they're going to do that. And you get a preview of it, and you get a preview of scouts. If you're in scouts, you get then to see either what you already have seen and understand the connection, or maybe what you missed, depending on when everybody joined. And then see how the scouting program is supposed to run. And while you're there, you get to learn about the scouting program and actually a lot of other stuff. One of the things I've seen is we talk a lot about how this is leadership training. And I think one of the things that's bugged both of us is one of the sales pitches is, yes, one of the sales pitches is, this is like corporate leadership training that your company would pay $5,000 for you to attend. And I want to hear your thought process on this. I know one of my thought processes on it is, I don't like those corporate leadership trainings, so this is not a good sales pitch.
I don't know anybody who likes those.
No, not typically, no. So
usually it's a thing you have to do.
Yes.
And the other thing that I will mention is the people running a Wood Badge course are all volunteers. The people running a Wood Badge course are there because they love the program. A lot of people don't know this. You pay to staff Wood Badge.
Right.
You are taking off as much or more time from work than the participants are.
Yeah.
You are doing this for the love of the program, and because you know, as a staffer, you believe that your efforts will pay off for the youth.
You know, I think that's actually an important thing to understand, and I'll try to do the abbreviated version. As staff, I mean, not us in this course right now, because we're putting an inordinate amount of time in.
Correct.
But as a general staffer, like a troop guide, that's usually the first position somebody holds as staff, we have a meeting one day a month for the 6 months leading up to the course. The participants are there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first weekend. The staff is there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And often Wednesday night.
And some, yeah, and often Wednesday night. And then the next weekend, the participants are there Friday or Saturday, Sunday. The staff often shows up on Thursday, is there all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And like you said, not only are they not getting paid to be there, we pay to be here to, I mean, because we're incurring expenses upon the course. We're eating food and whatnot.
Exactly.
Which means we're not, our food, our time is not being paid for by the participants.
Yeah, exactly. We're paying our own way as well, which, so I think part of the difference that you get there from your corporate leadership seminar is we are here because we're passionate about it.
Yeah.
And also, this is worth noting, your staff members will be doing the job that they're doing most likely one time. So the time that they are doing their job mm-hmm. will be the first and last time they do that job because they usually move on.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, there will be.
But we've got kind of a cycle that we go through.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there will be some, you know, there'll be hiccups. Like everybody's learning. This is.
Which strangely is how a troop runs.
It's helpful to see. And I think it's helpful to know that.
Yeah.
The people who are running this are not professionals. We're not experts. We're not, you know, we haven't all been doing the same job for 20 years and have all the experience. We're learning too. And so it's a collaborative process where mm-hmm. it's not information coming down from on high from the people who know all the truth to the people who don't. It's, you know, people who have been through this training who may have some more experience, you know, with this course. When I was a troop guide, one of my participants that I was helping had been involved in scouting longer than I'd been alive.
Yeah.
He had been serving in various, you know, very high level district roles.
Oh, man, I've actually had that now that I'm on the other side of that. I've been in scouting longer than some of our participants have been alive.
And so that was an interesting thing is that I was tasked with, you know, mm-hmm. teaching this gentleman, you know, some things about leadership and about the program that he knows so much more than I do in so many avenues. So
right.
I learned a huge amount from him in
okay.
that process.
Now
as
that
well.
Brings up an interesting question. I'm going to get to a point in a second, but I want to know, did he learn something?
He absolutely did. And he and I are still in contact regularly.
Okay. Because I've heard from a lot of people, I mean, I don't want to sound like a used car salesman, but we're trying to pitch this and we're trying to figure out the best way to market this program because we believe in it, we trust it. And so one of the things that I've heard though is I don't need that training. I've been a scoutmaster for X number of years. I've done the corporate leadership training. I've been to Tony Robbins. I don't care, whatever. I mean, Tony Robbins is a little different. I like what he does, but it's different. And the corporate training is different. And I would argue that just because you've been a scoutmaster for 75 years doesn't mean you've been doing it right for 75 years.
And the truth of the matter is that times change, people change,
yeah.
The program changes, and so the things that you did that worked may not work as well with today's youth as they did with the youth 20 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have grown as a person a huge amount just through my time in scouting as an adult, so
yeah.
I don't think I mentioned this, but I did not do any scouting as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to this as a parent with my oldest son when he was a tiger. Is when
That's
we joined.
Awesome.
And I had no family history with scouting, no personal experience with it at all. What I will say is my mom took me to two Tiger Cub meetings when I was 6 or 7 or something like that. And that was as much as I got.
Yep.
And so for me, the growth that I've experienced through being part of the program has been phenomenal. And a lot of that for me comes from Wood Badge. Because of the people that I'm spending time with and because of the the process of, you know, learning the program and everything else. And so anybody can continue to grow. I hope there's nobody out there who thinks that they have it all figured out, there's no more growing to do, and they're just going to coast
right
the rest of the way.
So my father went through Wood Badge in 1995. His course number was C595. I only remember that because it's just super easy to remember there. But he went through, you know, so what's that been? That's been 30 years ago. but I can only, and he was scoutmaster of my troop for 17 years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can only imagine if he went through it again today, what he would learn.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be a great experience for him because he already has that history. He already has that knowledge, which he actually could do. You can retake if it's under a different curriculum. But he could do it again, and I think it would be a much better experience for him because he'd already go in knowing the curriculum is different. He's going to learn new things. I would be curious to see what somebody like him took away from the course that the rest of us didn't. Well, that would be an interesting thing.
For me, coming at it from completely the opposite end,
right?
To kind of bring this to back to our point about experiencing the scouting program. Since I joined, you know, I registered in fall of 2019. I tried to take Wood Badge in spring of 2020.
Was there something that happened then?
It didn't pan out. We had some scheduling conflicts with the entire planet.
Yeah.
So that for me was incredibly valuable to get to see the program the way I always describe it is from lion to eagle, right? Like, and beyond, because, you know, venture and ships and explore and everything else. But that lion to eagle framework of you get to see the whole program. And I've had a number of my cub leaders from my pack who've attended Wood Badge this year, and some of them have been, you know, they've had kids in the program for a while, so they're fairly experienced with it. Some of them are relatively new. Some of them are brand new leaders, so they've just registered and just taken on like official leadership positions. And one of the questions that I got is like, well, why do I as a cub leader need to learn all of this about the scouting program?
Well, and so You're about to step right into my next point I want to cover is who will benefit from this. You were segueing beautifully here, and
see,
I think
how I do?
That's how you roll.
My first podcast ever, segueing already.
Well, and as we've talked many, many times over the last several months, I feel like Cub Scout leaders get gypped because we don't market to them. We don't try to get them in. We're like, no, Wood Badge is for Scout leaders. No, it's for Cub. It's best for Cub Scout leaders, especially as the program has changed in the last, year and a half now, I guess.
Yeah. And to your point, for anybody who's not familiar now, the Cub Scout program changed to where Weebelows, which is the fourth grade rank, and Arrow of Light, which is a fifth grade rank, used to be sort of joined, like kind of halfway together.
Right.
I gather in the past it was even more. It was just 2 years of the same program.
Of Weeblow, and if you went above and beyond, you could earn the rank of Arrow of Light within the Weeblow program. And that's how I got it.
And so now it's, you know,
that was way back in, you know,
dinosaur times.
The Reagan Bush era there, yeah. First Bush.
So the program now has split the Weeblows off from the AOLs. The Weeblows are now more like Bear, and AOLs is now a really dedicated troop preparation year. And so as a Cub leader, if you have scouts who are in that AOL year or who are approaching that, AOL's Arrow of Light, that's fifth grade. I don't know if we already said that.
No, yeah, that's, yeah.
So,
we're good.
But that fifth grade year, as you get closer to that, knowing the scouts program will help you to run that program, because they run their den as a patrol. They call it a patrol. They elect a patrol leader. They have a
flag.
And they decide everything on their own, and so that whole thing is really geared toward it.
And if you don't understand that as a Cub Scout leader, which a lot, like a huge percentage of Cub Scout leaders do not come from a scouting background, and so they get there and they're like, well, this says we got to talk about this patrol method thing, and they don't know what the patrol method is.
Yeah.
And there aren't, I mean, there's a couple books on it, I suppose, if you really want to dig into the archives. You can get Scouting for Boys, written by Baden Powell in 1908 or something. You can do that. You can also take Wood Badge and you can experience what it's like to be in a patrol, kind of what it's like to be a scout, not even a scout leader, but a scout, so that you can then take that experience back to your Cubs and directly educate them on what's to be expected. Like, no, this is what you need to do. You need to create a flag. And it doesn't have to be a huge flag. It can be a small flag. I've seen a bunch of them. And you will have seen a bunch of them. You will have seen probably at least six of them, maybe eight of them. You know, that's something that we do in Wood Badges. Every patrol, you know, Beaver Patrol makes their silly
makes a beaver flag.
You know,
they're always delightful.
They are. They're great.
Troop guide for the Beavers, and they hold a very special place in my heart.
That's right. My dad's a Beaver. I understand.
What I would say too, though, is for Cub leaders, one of my leaders who attended this year, she is a Lion Den leader.
Okay.
So she's years away from AOL.
Right.
And she still got a ton out of the program.
Right.
And what I think, what helped me a lot was getting that broader perspective of the goal of the whole program. So the specifics of, you know, how a patrol runs and what is a patrol leader's council, what is a senior patrol leader, those things are really valuable if you're in or approaching that AOL year, so you can explain it. But the larger picture of what is the purpose of scouting? How do we do this thing? What does it do for our youth? That is valuable at all levels. And it allows you, as a Lion or Tiger Den leader, to begin with the end in mind.
That's exactly where I was going. Is that you're beginning with the end in mind. And I think that's super helpful. Otherwise, you're just kind of rambling through.
And it lets you start to think about ways. It gives you that picture of where do we want to go. And then that gives you the picture of, all right, they're lions and tigers. They can't probably plan their own camp out.
Nope.
But what ownership can we give them?
Yeah.
And it lets you start to build those skills earlier in the program than I think most people expect they would be possible.
Yeah.
Where you really can take that your Wood Badge training about how to inspire youth leaders and how to help them be the best leaders that they can be, and you can take that and find ways to allow opportunities in those younger ages so that your younger scouts are starting down that path, and it's not new to them.
Yeah.
Even when they hit AOL, it's not like everything's been done for them. They've been spoon-fed all the way up, and now it's, all right, kids, you're on your own.
Yeah.
It's this
Well, and same
process.
For adults.
Yeah.
Because you've seen a little bit of this, and I've seen a little bit more of it, that being more focused on the scout side of things is the adults have a really hard time transitioning as well, because you're used to being very hands-on. Go do this. Let's grab this. We're going to do this today. To being a wallflower, standing up against the wall in the back and like fighting to not say, "Hey, don't forget that it could snow this week." You know, like you got it there. The scouts is youth led.
Yeah.
Cub Scouts is adult led, because those kids just They're too small. They're too young.
Just developmentally, they're not there yet.
They're just not there yet. They're great. They're awesome. They're fun. But scouting is the time when we need to start getting them to take accountability for themselves and responsibility for their own program, which means the adults need to not be doing that, at least take an advisory capacity instead of a conductor.
The example that I was like, my son Scoutmaster is fantastic at this. He asks a lot of questions.
Yeah, the Socratic method.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, so what do you think, you know, what do you think we might need to do next here? And it gives the kids the opportunity. It gives them that framework for them to develop those skills where they don't feel like it's just being dictated to them. They actually have the opportunity to practice. And so that's what I would say. So, you know, getting back to our who will benefit, I think Cub leaders benefit from the perspective of teaching the younger kids, even with that goal of understanding this is where we're going, and so we can start earlier. But even one of the best things, I've learned an incredible amount about how to help my adult leaders.
Yeah.
So as a Cub Master, the way that I try to position my leaders for success is driven almost entirely by Wood Badge and other, you know, like leadership things that I've learned, that I've found through Wood Badge or whatever. And so a lot of my process is driven through there. And so as a Cub leader, you will learn very valuable skills of how to make a plan, how to communicate with different kinds of people, how to deal with conflict, how to have difficult discussions with, you know, with your leaders if you have to, and all of those kinds of, there's a ton of those really valuable skills that you will learn that, you know, may not apply directly to you and, you know, your interactions with the youth if you're a tiger leader or something, but you're also part of a team of leaders of this Cub Scout pack, and so that training is incredibly valuable there. And I have to say that, like, seeing the way that my leaders treat each other and the culture that we have is incredibly rewarding because it's so positive and so respectful and very uplifting.
And I aspire to the greatness of your pack.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are, I don't know how much you understand that you're kind of legendary at this point around this area.
I don't know about all that.
I think we're in violent agreement here that I think Cub Scout leaders probably have the most to benefit.
If nothing else, it's
from Wood Badge.
The time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I would rather you learn earlier
right.
and start utilizing those skills, you know, 5 years earlier than 5 years later.
Like, absolutely.
You know, like, why would you struggle through without that information and that experience and those skills if you could have them?
And then, so then the next step would be scout leaders.
Yeah.
And again, I still think Cub Scout leaders have the most to gain, but next is that 10 to 21 range.
Yeah.
Because I say scout leaders, there's a lot there.
Correct.
There's Scouts BSA, which we can talk about that naming convention later. Sea Scouts, Ventures, Explorers. I'm missing somebody, I think, but I can't think of
it
who.
It used to be STEM Scouts?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's still a thing.
And then, well, there used to be Air Scouts, too.
Oh, nice.
But they went away a long time ago.
Oh, fair enough.
And there were actually, was it Blaze Scouts?
Huh.
Right. And Varsity Scouts.
I vaguely remember. So again, all this well before my time.
Oh, there's some cool patch stuff out there floating around if you're into that. Which, I mean, if you're not into that, what do you even scout? You know. So when I say scouts, I'm really talking about that 10 to 21 age range. Scouts BSA is technically 11-ish. 10 and a half
ten-ish
if you've got a,
to Sean Connery.
Ten and a half if you've got Arrow of Light, I think, is
and
the official.
And you completed your, you know, there's a handful of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and ten, then 10-ish.
It and cuts off at 18, but Sea Scouts, Ventures, Explorers go on to 21.
And those begin at 14.
And they, yes, that's right, they do.
Yeah, begin at 14. So 14 to 21. So it's 10 to 18 and so then 14 to 21. And you can overlap. You can be part of multiple programs.
Yep. So I'm kind of lumping them all together when I say Scouts. So I don't want somebody to say, well, I'm in Sea Scouts, I guess I can't take Woodbatch. Because we've, the senior patrol leader on our last course was a Sea Scout. Wore his navy blue uniform, and we just had a guy today that was here for, he was here for NYLT.
For NYLT, but we had several instructors at the Woodbatch Course Directors Conference that were Sea Scout leaders.
Yep.
Either in addition to being leaders in other programs or as their primary position. So, yeah.
So it's for everyone, and I think there's a lot to learn there, and especially if you're getting into it new. But even if you've been doing it for 10 or 15 years, there's a... I have been so bold as to say the patrol method isn't just a good way to run a troop. It's the only way to run a troop. And it is hard. And it's not hard for the kids, the scouts love it.
Yeah.
They love it more when we actually let them do it. It's hard for us adults because we're like control freaks that we got to be saving the world.
I have seen units struggle and lose scouts because the adults undermine their authority and because they tell them you're in charge and show them that they're not.
Then
this program as an inoculation against that of really learning from the ground up why we do what we do the way we do it and why it works so well and has for 100 years at giving these young people the opportunity that they may not get anywhere else in their lives to truly have ownership of something where the stakes matter. Now, the stakes are not life-shattering most of the time. Like, one of the examples that I like to give is my son's troop had an ice cream social and neglected to ask anybody to bring bowls.
Fantastic.
So it's there are real world consequences.
Yeah. Can you hold out your hands? Would you like one scope or two?
Eating ice cream out of a napkin. but it's smaller scale and they learned from that experience.
Oh, I'll bet.
So that is a hugely powerful thing for them to have real responsibility where they're not being rescued and they're not being undermined by the adults.
I see two good points in that too, where one of them is if they're just standing there being lectured at, they can get that at school.
They probably already had that earlier that day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most times that's exactly what they're getting. But there are very few opportunities where they get to be led by their peers or lead their peers and to make up their own minds about things. You know, like, I mean, so I've got a brand new troop, brand new. They still have that new troop smell and everything. So I kind of have to lean in a little bit and be like, hey, just so you guys know, we're going to summer camp this week next year. After that, I just have to come up with a program pretty quick, and they don't know how. They're all 11 years old.
Well,
they don't know how. So I'm in a weird state at the moment.
That is a leadership skill to know when to lean in a little more and when to lean back. And that's something that my son's troop did was when they had some older scouts in leadership positions, the scoutmasters leaned back and let them run things more. And when they have younger people in the leadership positions, they lean in and provide more support.
Right. Like right now I'm basically trying to train them to be leaders.
Correct, yeah. And so this is something we'll have to do a future episode on our 10 to 25 book, but the perspective of having those higher expectations for them while providing that higher level of support that they need to succeed. Because if you just tell somebody, oh, hey, you're brand new to a troop, you've never done this before, okay, here's a blank piece of paper, figure out how to make an annual plan
Yeah.
You are setting them up for failure.
Absolutely.
And
that's not good leadership.
They're not learning anything. They are going to learn
that they don't
feel
like
terrible. They're going to learn that maybe their time is better spent somewhere else than in a scout troop. But if you can give them the support that they need to meet the expectations, to challenge themselves to do things they didn't think that they would be able to do, and you provide the support to allow them to achieve those things, I mean, they'll be on top of the world.
Yeah.
That's the magic, is seeing them grow into those capabilities that, you know, a year or two prior would have been entirely beyond them.
Yeah.
And
So from a backing up to a wood badge standpoint, that is what we're trying to, that's what we're trying to teach adult leaders.
Exactly.
How to do. And it does that in spades, I find. Like, that's just a massive thing. But it does it in weird ways sometimes. So, like, we demonstrate and let you experience the patrol method, but there's also classes where you might want to just buy stock in Kleenex before that class, because you know, we start pulling at people's heartstrings and making people look inside themselves to be introspective. And have you been doing the right thing? Are you doing the right thing? Let me guide you for this hour on other ways that you could be doing it, or better ways possibly. And I don't feel like we're too hard and fast, except the patrol method. I'm hard and fast on that. But we're not too hard and fast on things. Like, there's a lot of ways to skin that cat. But,
oh, absolutely.
You know, you got to bring your personal flair to it, I guess.
And I think that's a lot of it is getting... So there's a lot of ways to develop skills. And one of them is hard-won experience.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people who think that, like, I'm just going to do it and I'll figure it out. And that is, like, the hardest way to learn the lesson is to have the rock dropped on your foot.
And the thing that's unfortunate about it is that your scouts are suffering while you are taking longer than necessary.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Going down all these trails that have been trod many times before by people before you who could have told you they were going to end in tears. Your scouts are suffering.
Yeah.
And so finding the way that you can help your scouts have the best experience that they can is, I see that for me. That's my obligation to them. That's my duty to my scouts, is to give them the best program that I possibly can. And that means, absolutely, I will be learning by experience. If I can shorten the time scale of how long it takes me to learn those lessons by spending time around more experienced scouters, or spending time at a training, or reading books, or whatever, like, those are things that will help me to accelerate my growth, to allow me to accelerate their growth sooner.
So let me boil this down real quick. One, a scout leader, be it an assistant scout master, troop committee member, all the positions within a unit,
or
a ship.
At the district level, at the council.
Well, yeah, and professionals too. So,
yeah.
So you can either suffer through that for 20 years, or you can come to 2 weekends of wood badge. That's what I just got out of that.
That's pretty much. And the thing is, you're going to have to, like you said, your perspective is going to matter.
Yep.
So you're going to come to wood badge and you're going to learn these lessons, and then you're still going to struggle. I mean, the ticket is... the practical application.
Oh, we didn't even mention the ticket.
We'll get into that.
That'll be another day.
But essentially, there's a homework assignment that allows you, that gives you the opportunity to use everything you've learned in your roles as a scouter and in your wider life.
And I will tease it just in case anybody's heard of it. The ticket is a set of goals that you create for yourself. And I found it to be immensely helpful.
Excuse me.
And that's all right. I found it to be immensely helpful, and knowing going in what it was, because I was there through my father's experience and other people's experiences over the years, 30 years ago. Goodness, where'd that time go? So as you mentioned, though, professional scouters We pretty routinely on spring courses here in Colorado have one or two professionals.
At least a couple of professionals. Yeah. We've been having usually a handful of camp staff.
Yep. Like district executives,
younger camp staff. So sometimes older, you know.
And in fact, we actually have a professional coming back for this spring course as a staffer.
Correct, yeah.
So he'll be there as a troop guide. And I'm looking forward to working with him. I mean, we've known each other. We were on the same participant course. And like, what if a parent just a parent can take it, right?
So you do have to be a registered leader. However, one of my leaders who attended this year registered, I believe, the week before course.
Yeah.
She had been in our pack for a good long while, and she'd, you know, been helpful. She has multiple kids in the pack. One of them crossed over this spring to a troop. Mm-hmm. And as she saw what was going on in her daughter's troop and saw that they needed help and started to realize, like,
I know there's a problem, but I don't know what the solution is.
And she was like, I want my daughter's experience to be,
yeah,
you know, to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And so she registered to go take the course. So she had not done any leadership in scouting prior to that course. And now she is off to the races. She is phenomenal. She is already hugely benefiting my pack. She's taken on multiple roles there and is knocking them out of the park and is also contributing significantly to her troop to the point where they're, you know, she's been registered for less than 6 months, and she's already made herself indispensable to two units.
Fantastic.
Because she has the passion for it. She has the heart for, you know, seeing her kids succeed. She's seen, you know, she's been in my pack for a couple of years, at least, I want to say 3 years. And she's seen what the benefits to her kids already through that time.
Yeah.
And this is one of my touch points. The Cub Scouting program is not a holding pattern for younger kids. The Cub Scouting
It is the program.
It is the program. It is hugely beneficial to
Absolutely.
Kids.
Absolutely. My son's both my kids have gone or are going through at least part of Cub Scouts. My son loves it.
Yeah.
My daughter was like, I feel like I'm a little too old for this when I'm starting it kind of thing. And she's kind of mature for her age. So she was like ready to go into Scouts.
What was so funny too is like I pour my heart and soul into my pack.
Yeah.
And my son, my oldest, does not care for it. He was reluctant.
Yeah.
You know, he went through everything. He completed all of it, but like he was reluctant. He didn't love going to meetings. He like it wasn't his jam. My younger two absolutely love it. Want to be at everything.
Yeah.
But my older son, as soon as he crossed over to the troop, that was where he wanted
to
be.
That's where he blossomed.
And so that, you know, so I think that there are times where, you know, some kids may prefer one versus the other.
Right.
But
well, and we've discussed that some of us adults feel that way too.
I love the Cub program. So
yeah.
When it finally comes time for me to move on, they're gonna be dragging me out with my fingernails buried in the carpet. Like it's
or they'll chain you down and say you're not allowed to leave. That's more likely. What? No. So my point though was that my son loves it and he gets so much out of it.
Oh yeah.
You know, like he's doing all he'll get a year's worth of work done in the first 2 months.
Oh yeah.
Because he can't stop himself and he loves doing like, oh, hey, let's do bicycles, and he gets to learn how to fix his bike and clean it up
right.
And whatnot. So every once in a while he's like, hey, can I get the bike stand out and clean my bike? I'm like, who am I to say no, right? You
know? So that's, yeah, you've got your patrol method soapbox. I have my Cub Scout soapbox.
Yeah, yeah.
I hear too many people poo-poo on the Cub Scout program, and I won't stand for it. I love it. I think it's amazing.
I think it's fantastic. And I think it is for every youth from kindergarten through, fifth grade?
Yeah.
Roughly. I think it's fantastic for every single youth, boy or girl, to go through Cub Scouts. and hopefully go move on, because I think you get a different set of skills and a different experience moving on to scouts.
It absolutely is.
I think you said that because we heard that earlier today of the holding pattern, basically, you know, the funnel into scouts.
So got my dander right up.
While their big brother was in scouts, it was something for the little brother to. And no, that's not what it should be. I don't actually believe that's how it started. In fact, I know that's not how it started, but that's not what it should be. But they're complementary to each other. And both things are very valuable, especially for their age. Now, I do think what can be helpful, and this is a whole other topic, really.
But I know, we're totally off track now.
Is having the meetings at the same time or back-to-back or something, so that parents don't have to go to five different places throughout the week. That's always kind of nice. But, no, my kids love my son especially loves Cub Scouts. My daughter is really, really enjoying Scouts.
Nice.
And I think she kind of got thrown into the leadership role a little bit at first and was like, I don't like this planning thing. But now I think she's kind of like, I kind of want to get back to it. I'm like, well, you got to wait till the next election.
Uh-huh.
You know, that you didn't run this last time. So that's
how it happens.
That's how it goes, kiddo. Sorry.
So I love, you know, we had our digression there.
Yeah, but, we fell down that rabbit hole.
But getting back to the larger picture is, Wood Badge is a training that will allow you to make whatever program you're running better for the other leaders, for yourself, for the youth that are involved. It is designed to help you to become the person that you need to be to help the youth have this experience and to provide a great environment for not just the youth, but also for your fellow leaders. Because I've seen dysfunctional units where the youth are having a good time and the leaders are not having a good time.
Yep.
And that's terrible. Those units will not survive forever with that being the case.
Before we cut out here, because I think we're at a good time to start wrapping things up here, but I think it might be important real quick to throw in what Wood Badge isn't.
Oh, yeah.
And Wood Badge is not learning scout skills like knot tying.
Correct.
Or lashings or setting up a tent or orienteering or something. It's not that. We've kind of struggled, I think, and it's probably been more on my side of this, with whether this really is leadership training or training our adult leaders to do their jobs, basically. Because I think there is a leadership component to that.
That would be a good topic for a future podcast, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Because we say that a lot. Oh, it's leadership training. I struggle with that, but that's probably a me thing more than anything else. But it's not skills training. It's coming and learning how to be a good adult leader in a scouting unit, be it Cub Scouts, Scouts, Sea Scouts, etc. There's a lot that is there, and that is what is there is definitely enough for that 5-day program.
And there's a tiny bit of the outdoor skills because you have the outdoor experience the second weekend you are camping the second weekend.
But
it's not a large portion of it. I think a lot of people have that impression that it's like your Baloo 2.0 or your Isles 2.0, where it's like more advanced outdoor leader training.
This last spring course we had, one of the women in my patrol that I was troop guide for had never camped before.
Right.
That Wood Badge was her first time ever sleeping in a tent. And that was amazing. It was slightly hilarious to some of us, don't get me wrong. But what happened was exactly what always happens in scouting, is she very nervously said, so I've never slept in a tent before. And everybody said, really? Okay, fine. Yeah. What can we do to help you? All right, She had one other woman in the patrol with her. She said, all right, you're bunking with me. Do you have a sleeping bag? No. One of the guys said, I've got an extra sleeping bag. I've got an extra ground pad. You know, it was just like pummel her with everything. Like they just showed up and she helped set up the tent and magically there was a place for her to sleep in there that was nice and warm and cozy. And that's how it works.
That speaks to one of the other things that I think is most valuable about Wood Badge and part of what Wood Badge is and why I think it's such a good thing for everyone is it gives you time with other scout leaders. Mm-hmm. And scout leaders, I have met some of the best people that I've ever known in my life through the scouting program. And having the opportunity to meet more people from outside of your unit and to expand that network so that you have more people that you know are out there working hard, are trying their best, that you can reach out to if you have questions, or you can collaborate with them on things, you can find, you know, ask them what they would do in this situation, whatever. That is hugely helpful because, and this is actually another reason why I think Wood Badge is particularly helpful for Cubs, is I think there is very much a tendency for Cub units to be sort of siloed,
yeah,
and feel disconnected from other units and not realize that there is this whole wider world of scouting out there where there are other people going through the same struggles that you are.
You know, I just realized that is one of the great lessons of Wood Badge and learning about scouting is you learn that helpful experience, that is what scouting is.
To help other people at all times.
That's an interesting, we should put that in some kind of slogan or oath or something.
That's the thing is I want to see more people living that value, more people understanding that down deep in their bones about what that really means.
Yeah.
And Wood Badge is where I have seen that so much.
Yeah.
And then I've been able to take that to my unit and help to build the culture in my unit to be that way. And now having more Wood Badge trained leaders in my unit is just going to get stronger. And so that to me is a lot of it is, those experiences are so hugely helpful and so uplifting, and so seeing you know somebody asks for help, nobody's judging them, nobody's making fun of them, everybody's just like, we've all been there. How can we help?
Yeah, we were all new at one point, and we kind of get that without the awkwardness of being a kid now because it's all adults here. So we're all treating each other like adults, but yeah, some people get new experience. We're all getting new experiences.
Absolutely.
Of one kind or another.
And
some are just more obvious than others.
That's one of the other things too, is that you get to a point where you're working with your patrol and the staff
and everybody else.
And you get to the point where you feel safe trusting these people with your challenges, and that is hugely helpful.
I know you've had a very similar experience to this, is that I'm looking at the patrol that I just was a troop guide for, the Bear Patrol, go Bears, that lady who had never slept in a tent before ended up being the first one of her patrol of five who completed the whole course, ticket and everything.
Yeah.
And she is now a member of my troop committee. She's a rock star. She's awesome, and she's just a friend. Like my wife and my daughter were over at her house the other day.
Nice,
you know. And it's those kinds of things though that we really get that just awesome experiences of learning what scout spirit and scout life really is about. That I think are probably the coolest things about going through Wood Badge is the people.
Yeah.
But you also learn some really awesome stuff, which helps you build those people experiences even more.
Absolutely.
It's just, there's zero downside in
my
mind.
I think we're still somewhere downstream from your comment about what Wood Badge isn't, and it's not a corporate leadership seminar.
No.
Because
no, it's not.
I don't know anybody who goes to a corporate leadership seminar and comes back with lifelong friends.
Nope.
Or comes back like
with a smile,
feeling inspired to be a better person, and with a roadmap of how to get there. Like
yeah.
those are. Like that's what it can do is like it yeah. is a powerful experience, and it's made so because of the other people that are involved. And so that to me is like, what is Wood Badge? And Wood Badge is, it's the people, and it's
yep.
the program, and it's the possibility that you see of experiencing this with all these other people and learning all these new skills. It gives you that sense of what is possible for your unit, what you can do in your role, whatever it is. That's what makes it so powerful is that it makes it easier for you to be the you want to be.
Ooh, yeah, there you go.
Hey,
I like that. I can't think of a better way to stop it, so we better stop it right now.
That's it.
That was it. Hit the brakes. No, that was great. So thank you very much, Jared, and I hope we do this again maybe a few more times.
I hope so. Yeah, it was a blast.
Maybe we bring in some others. We had Josh looking in the window at one point here. And, you know, I think some of the topics that we kind of touched on that we can come back to we've got a lot of possibility because Wood Badge is just awesome and there's a lot to learn there.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me.